Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. This week, bad news for former President Trump as he's ordered to dissolve Trump Corporation.
Florida, we're number one.
Florida bans more books than any other state of the union. But this is Florida. So Charlotte County says we can outdo that. Hold my beer. We're removing every book in the library that has a gay LGBTQ character in it, whether they have sex or talk about it or not. Even if they have a funny haircut, they will have that. And we've got voicemail. And also much, much more. I'm Henry Reigns.
I'm Mark Edge.
And Mark, what do you have this week?
I've got a newsletter from Downsize DC that is answering the very important question, is there in fact a deep state?
In what country?
This one. This one right here.
Or are you talking about like a deep meditative state? I've had those before, too.
Well, the idea with the deep state is that there's this bureaucracy that even a president can't undo. In fact, a president whose sole goal is to undo this still can't even put a dent in it in the first 4 years. Has to have another 4 years to do it.
Why would he want to?
Well, that's the question. And that's added to all of this. So you are conceding there is a deep state.
I am conceding the fact that if you go into a political science class, and maybe not in recent years because now it's a buzzword, but they would, or like an international relations class, they would talk and tell you about the deep states of other countries. For example, if you were going to be dealing with the country of Turkey, the military-industrial complex is even more entrenched than probably it is here, which might be hard to believe, but that's what you might be told. There are, if you would look maybe from another country at the U.S. in the 60s, they would have told you about the military-industrial complex. Well, of course, President Eisenhower told you about the military-industrial complex. He knew a thing or two about that. But you might have been educated to the role of the different oil companies. Maybe around the Civil War, you would have learned about the robber barons and the railroads. Just probably the coal companies back then.
Post-Civil War was, the United States changed from what they called the spoils system, which was when the president got into office, he basically appointed all of his bureaucracy within the apparatus. So everybody who, you know, worked with him to get him elected suddenly got themselves a sweet government job. And somewhere between the 1870s and the early 1900s, that system went away. And now we have a system called the deep state.
Now, I am touchingly saying you're wrong.
Okay.
Because you are just talking about a mechanism and a tool of the deep state. The deep state is the actual power centers within the country that may or may not manifest themselves in the government and in the bureaucracies of the government. So, let's go real early in this country's history. The agrarian complex, the cotton was the biggest industry in the United States of America. So you could definitely say that the plantation owners that controlled that were part of the deep state of the pre-Civil War South. And actually, since it was the biggest industry, they probably carried a lot more. In fact, you might even have found that many of the leading politicians in the early part of the country would have come out of that whole agrarian plantation class.
Well, I would agree with you that the power power comes from people have money. So far, we haven't managed...
Or control of resources.
All right, that's how you get the money, right?
Control of violence.
Well, the state is the organization that claims a monopoly privilege on the violence. Now, certainly...
They claim it.
That's what they claim it.
They aren't always capable of it.
They aren't always capable, that's for sure. And when the state's smaller, then that's the, oftentimes violence comes from other organizations. But property and violence go hand in hand. You're not going to keep that lovely computer of yours without being willing to fight for it. So, not for me. You can have it.
You can have it. Right. You want it that bad.
Right. I agree. But ultimately, from a societal level, if enough people say, you can have it, I don't want it that bad, then you have a chaotic scenario where no one can own property and things devolve pretty quickly. So I can't remember exactly where I was in all of this story.
Well, I think you were trying to explain to me what you meant by the spoils when I said that wasn't part of the deep state. It was more the mechanism of it.
So operative term here being the state. So the spoils system, I'm not saying the spoils system's good or bad. I'm just saying that it changed. In many countries, they have the spoils system still. Honduras is a really great example where I've spent quite a bit of time. When the new set of liars and thieves came in, well, they had to trickle down all their people in. And they didn't know what they were doing for the first year. And why would the people who are leaving tell them how? So that's kind of the...
Well, my point is you're still just focusing on the government.
Yep.
There are lots of centers of power. So let's look currently. So actually the media is very diffuse now in some ways because of the Internet and so many individuals that have managed to create little fiefdoms for themselves. But still, the media is corporate control, whether you're talking about the entertainment industry or the news industry or infotainment, whatever it is. Those corporations have the biggest grip on what is produced. If you have the control of production, you have pretty much control of the agenda.
Sure.
So whatever the media is, that is controlled usually by a board of directors.
Yep.
Within the board of directors, you're going to have, say, 8 people. And of those 8 people, they probably sit on other boards of directors. Maybe not in the media, but maybe yes. All right, so you have a group think across those people. The United States is so big to try and analyze it, like, oh, these people here. We have a broad upper class, not deep, but broad. They touch a lot of different things. So you have multinationals, which was the difference, because we were talking about the 1960s America, where you would have had a 1950s America after World War II, when the multinationalism hadn't really expanded to the level it was, where you had the oil companies with their control. You had United Fruit dominating Latin America. You had the different transportation industries and the auto industries. And all those not only try to influence elections, you have think tanks. You have universities where they're putting their people on that. So the idea that, I'm going to clean up the deep state, it's just ridiculous. The deep state has, it's like saying, I'm going to unroot the redwood forest.
Well, I think it's, I don't know whether, I would disagree with your assessment of what the deep state is. So let's say you have 2 dirty rooms in your house. And the way that you cleaned up one dirty room was by throwing a bunch of stuff into another dirty room. And then you say, pardon me, then you say, I'm going to clean up that other room. Well, you're not going to, I mean, somebody could, if your attempt is to clean up that other room by throwing the crap back in the first room, then obviously you don't have a great system. But you could clean up that one room by throwing the stuff into another room. Or you could come up with a better system of doing that. Now, I don't know what that better system is, and I wouldn't claim to know. I would agree with you, power is going to follow, or money's going to follow power. Money's going to control power. And I don't doubt that at all. As to whether or not the deep state needs to be undone, I don't know either. But I would say that there is a deep state, and that that deep state is government bureaucrats. And now, is that better than the corporatocracy that we used to have? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have an answer as to whether or not it's better than the corporatocracy. I didn't live in the 1880s. But we've still got the corporatocracy, and we have the deep state. So now what?
Well, the bureaucracy isn't the deep state. The bureaucracy are the worker bees.
Do you want to read this article?
Well, no, because she's on your little phone there, and I just took my glasses off.
I can read it for you, so let them make their case.
I think that's just a pop culture deep state definition.
Okay.
The bureaucracy is millions of people. So if they aren't worker bees, what are they?
Well, I think that the explanation that I've heard is that essentially those in the bureaucracy of the United States government care very little about who gets elected, because they're going to continue to do their jobs the way they're going to do their jobs. And they're going to achieve what they want to achieve within their jobs. Usually it's going home right at 5 and arriving right at 9, or whatever the case may be. But every once in a while they have their own ideas. I just think that we have very little to do. We the people, the representatives of the United States government, have very little to do with what the U.S. government is actually going to do. And I think that a lot of people feel similarly, is that this is supposed to be a government of the people. Now, I don't believe that for a second. But it's supposed to be that, and that they feel unattached and unable to make any kind of dent in what the government does. You might be able to do it on a local level, but you're not going to do it on a national level.
Let me say that we're in a ballpark together, but where I think you're missing it is when the word used is bureaucracy. I'll go back to the fact that when you're talking about millions of employees, it is the bureaucracy, which is the bureaucrats that are in the government that handle the implementation of different regulations, or that make sure that the Social Security checks go out and things like that. They have a job to do, and it's getting done. But what I think you're talking about, and what I've said many times over the years on my radio show, is when a president comes in, they're going to make about 10 to 20,000 appointees.
Okay.
That's a big difference than millions of appointees.
Yeah, I don't know how many people work for the United States federal government, but it's. I would agree that they're only just working at the very top level.
Well, let me explain this. That is why when you go, I want somebody to come in and shake them up, I want an outsider to come in, it's crazy. You need someone that has a patronage network. You need people, someone that has thousands of people that, even if they've never met them, those people know they owe their livelihood to that person leading. And if you look at, say, the Bush family, when George H.W. Bush came in, actually go back to Reagan. Reagan had a pretty good patronage network, because being the governor of California, you have a lot of people that, it's a pretty big government, so you have a pretty good base to pull from. But who was his vice president? George H.W. Bush, a multi-generation member of the deep state, if you will. His dad goes back to the Brown, and what is it, Brown Bankers and Averill Harriman.
I don't know, but they talk a great deal about
the conspiracy theories
around the family.
Well, not the conspiracy, just the fact that they had worked in the financial center of New York for about three generations, and so they had built up their network before they ever got into elected office. So then George H.W. Bush works in the oil industry. He has that. part of the deep state of the 50s and 60s. He works in the CIA, which is connected to United Fruit. Again, part of the deep state. And then he gets into Congress. From there, he becomes a United Nations ambassador. He became ambassador to China. All the time, you're picking up, you know, you're taking your base of the Bush family business and adding on to it. And then when George H.W. Bush comes in, he helps Reagan put people into the bureaucracy.
Now
Reagan had his own stamp because you got some of those people that, like the really extreme for the period of time, agricultural and Department of Interior people, like Butts, Earl Butts, I think, was the agricultural, and then there was another guy that was bald-headed that was in the Department of Interior that was considered really radical for the time. But in the places that George H.W. Bush sort of let Reagan do that stuff, but in the State Department, in the, you know, the Commerce Department, in the boring places,
the important parts,
yes, that he was there. And let's just flip this by a generation to his son George W. Bush. Now, when George W. Bush came in, who did he ask to do the transition? Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney had built his whole patronage network up, and from when he was in Congress, from when he was Secretary, was it Defense? And he had a couple other bureaucratic positions in the first Bush administration where he was building his patronage network. But he had an ally in Donald Rumsfeld. So Rumsfeld got Defense when they came in as Cheney vice president. And you look when they went to implement the invasion of Iraq. You had the State Department stack, you had the Defense Department stack, you had the National Security Council stack, all ready to go and implement the neocon agenda. So you need, Clinton came in amateur hour, but he was a quick learner. So by the time he got through with his second administration, he had Clinton incorporated,
mm-hmm.
And if Hillary Clinton had come in, you can believe that they would have hit the ground running with 20,000 appointments that would have done whatever the Hillary Clinton agenda was. And I even have, as just a sidelight, was I take a sip of Diet Coke here with the neurotoxins in it that you don't like.
I do not like those, I can tell you. I'd rather have corn syrup.
Well, and you will. The Jennifer Palmieri was at the Center for American Progress. Back, it was a new think tank. It's around now. Everybody's heard of it now. But when I was doing my radio show in like 2004, 2005, it was sort of new. And she was one of the communications director. And off the air, she said to me, "Yeah, we're sort of the White House in waiting here." So you have your think tanks,
yep,
that have different power patrons, and you know they keep their jobs there and keep their livelihood there, and then they go where they're supposed to go. So that's just one example of it. So if you want a deep state, you need somebody with their own patronage network. You need a Romney family. You need a Bush family. You need a Clinton family. You need a Kennedy family.
So is that why Trump used the Federalist Society to sort of decide who the appointments were going to be as far as federal judges went?
President Trump picked his favorites from Fox News video. Look, he took... John Bolton, because he liked how he acted on Fox News, and he somehow got Dick Pompeo, or
Mike Pompeo,
excuse me, who now he's a guy that's built his patronage network. I'm surprised he's not running for president this year because he's been CIA director and head of the State Department. I mean, he's
just expecting Trump to come in and win, and then
and you can look at the different generals that Trump appointed. So it was every
and the generals
power broker
have their
for themselves there.
The generals have their own patronage network just through the military, right? Is that the concept here?
You have that, but you also have the revolving door. You got to work somewhere when you come out of the military, and you're going to be a consultant for, or maybe even on the board of directors of some of the defense contractors. You can always make need a little money on the side. You know, the medias will pay you to be an expert.
Yep.
Well.
So, I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to get rid of this, though. I mean, you know, the libertarian system has always been, well, drive a stake through its heart. Like, this is awful. It's complicated. Drive a stake through its heart. And that's all they're
proposing. It's how things get done.
It's how they get done currently. That doesn't make it good. It just
well,
makes it how they get done.
If you would democratize more as opposed to gerrymand more as opposed to close elections more, you'll get something a little bit more representative of the people. Now, we're
the people are idiots. Their IQs are 100.
We got,
and half of them are lower than that.
All right. I'll leave you to that for this segment because we have a lot we can go with over there on the next segment. There's so much there to unpack that you'll have to restate it when we come back. But I do want to say thank you to Jeremy and thank you to Skeeter for the voicemails. We are going to play your voicemails sometime soon. If you would like to leave a voicemail for Reins and Edge, the phone number is 941-799-6033. That's 941-799-6033. And we will actually, speaking of President Trump, we need to look at the judicial decision that went against him this week that talk about driving a stake into the heart, drive a stake into Trump Corp. That's even worse than not getting elected. And we have that, and of course, all the book banning you can count right here on Reins and Edge.
On the Free Talk Live Network.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented really cool features to ensure it is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The likelihood of a government shutdown is on the rise. Today, the House was unable to approve a short-term funding bill. That bill, which encompassed substantial cuts and border provisions, faced opposition from all Democrats and 21 Republicans. The news of California Senator Dianne Feinstein's death hit hard at the White House.
Diane made her mark on everything from national security to the environment, to gun safety, to protecting civil liberties. The country's going to miss her dearly. and so will Jill and I.
Feinstein served in the Senate for 30 years. The United Auto Workers Union set to strike at two additional facilities. President Sean Fain announced today that due to a standstill in negotiations, employees at the GM Delta Township plant near Lansing, Michigan, and the Ford Chicago Assembly plant will also be walking off the job. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reigns.
And I'm Mark Edge.
And Mark, sigh. You were expanding on your opinion of the average voter.
That's right.
And could you take us back to that moment, please?
Sure. My thesis here is that the average American is an IQ of 100. And actually, as I understand it, that number is going down a little bit.
Well, as George Carlin said, the average American means that half of all the other people are stupider.
Yeah, something like that. You know how dumb the average person is? And half of them are dumber than that, I believe, is what his premise is. And
that's much better than I thought.
And mine is no different than his, really. It's why would you want to pick the most important position in the world, the President of the United States, and every other position, by polling a bunch of people who are ill-informed, really don't care very much, and not particularly smart. I mean,
so you are the same opinion as our founding fathers.
Indeed, I am. I was going to. They were my next thing to mention. The founders.
I'm glad I grabbed that one first.
The founders tried to figure out a system. They didn't have an IQ test back then. They tried to figure out a system to say, well,
maintain their hold on power of the deep state of the Southern planters.
George Washington from Virginia was elected by 2.5%. Less than 3%. How's that? Less than 3% of the population of the United States voted to put George Washington in power. And you can go back to all the greats, the two greatest presidents of all time, neither one of whom were there that many votes for. But in between Washington and Lincoln.
By the way, who are those two?
Washington and Lincoln, generally considered the two greats.
Oh, I was surprised that was going to be your opinion, but
it is. I do not hold that opinion, but Thomas excuse me, Andrew Jackson ran on, I think he was ninth president, if I'm not mistaken, ran on a platform that everybody should be able to vote. And that was a good way for him to secure power. And that kind of is the result of what we've got today, is that we've got all these people voting. And mind you, until this election, which has the, what do they call that, the uninformed voter, it has them, has Trump leading with them. I suspect the Democrats won't be trying to get the vote out this particular season, but I could be wrong. Maybe they'll just concentrate on certain zip codes. And, go ahead.
Well, you know, when you said that we've gotten more and more people voting, and but here locally in this county you sometimes call home, we have more and more people disenfranchised.
Sure.
And
what does disenfranchised mean? People who cannot vote or people who choose not to vote?
People who cannot vote because of the way the law is manipulated by special rules that few people know about and are designed to not allow other people to vote.
So all I know in Florida is that they don't allow felons to vote. And Florida is one of the very few states. And many Americans believe that felons can't vote. I believe it's only in two states of the United States. Admittedly, one of them is the third largest.
All right. I do want to put a little asterisk that I want to come back to what you were actually saying there. But if you want to know how it gets manipulated down on the nuts and bolts level, here in this county, I think we've talked about this before, but it's in the whole state of Florida, is the write-in loophole, as they call it, the write-in loophole.
Okay.
All right. In the state of Florida, you have closed primaries like you do in quite a few other states. Some states have open primaries. You know, you just vote, and maybe the two top vote-getters go on to the general election, or you have a choice to go to one primary or another. You don't have to. You're not locked in. But for decades, back since it was a one-party state, as a Democratic, Dixiecrat kind of state, the primary election has been closed. So if you
that
were,
means you have to be a member of a party to vote in that primary.
It's more than that.
Okay.
But yes, that's the starting point. So if you're a registered Democrat, you would vote in a Democrat primary. A Republican, you would vote in a Republican primary. If you're no party affiliation or independent,
you don't vote.
Right. You wait for the general election. Now, the obvious problem with that is if there isn't a opposing candidate from a different party, that there won't be an opposition in the general election. So we had a constitutional amendment, 1996, I think it was, that would, and actually Florida had quite a few reforms in the 60s, 70s, 80s, up until the 90s, that were opening up government, making it more transparent. But anyway, the reform was that if there wasn't an opposing candidate, so say there were two Republicans or two Democrats running and no one else, then the independents would get to vote in the primary because the outcome of the election would affect the independents, and the outcome of the election would affect people that resided here from the other party. So if you had the two Republicans running, then everybody gets to vote that's registered to vote. And even though it meant you'd have to come early to the primary election to have a say in it, it doesn't mean that they would push it off to the general election, but it would open it up. Now, in some cases, when that actually was allowed to happen, it might have gone to the general election, but that's been a moot point for about 20 years. Because after the people voted the constitutional amendment in, our elected representatives in Tallahassee decided they needed to clarify the reform.
Interpretive.
No, I think they needed to clarify it.
Okay.
And tweak it. So they made it so that only the people whose names were on the ballot would open up the primary. But if there was a write-in candidate who wouldn't appear on the primary ballot because their name isn't there, their name isn't going to be there on the general election either, but don't look at that little point. But the idea was that, well, since we have a write-in candidate, we want to be fair to the write-in candidate. And we will have a general election where the write-in candidate... Now, it was easy... Look,
let me try to get a clear picture.
Let me just say one thing.
Okay.
So, in other words, the write-in candidate could have been on the primary ballot, too, because there's no write-in candidate's name. There's only a blank line.
Right.
Okay.
So... The let's say that we are talking about a largely Republican-controlled, we'll just say red, a largely red party-controlled area, and the Democratic Party didn't do their job and didn't put somebody on the primary ballot. So then the registered Democrats go to the...
Well, that's not their job, but...
That's their job. That's their
job. No, it's the job of the candidate to put their name on the ballot.
Okay. Then they're supposed to hold the candidate's hand. Believe me, I've done this with the Libertarians, and the Libertarian Party takes very seriously getting people on the ballot if they can do it. It's much harder for the Libertarians than it is for the Democrats. So they go get the Democrat. They at this point they have nobody on the ballot. Somebody writes in. Then a Republican says, "All right, they've got a team of maybe 50 people that vote in the Democratic primary." So they say, "All right, write in George Smith." And then they all write in George Smith, and now George Smith is the candidate. For the general, the Democratic candidate for the general election, and then everybody votes.
No, that's nothing like that.
All right.
It's much worse.
All right. Then explain it to me.
All right. So let's take the real example of this county here, but it happens in counties all around the state. Although there are a couple counties that I mentioned it to people that live there, and they were like, wow, that's never happened here. And I'm like, well, you're lucky. All right. So here in Manatee County, the county commission, it works the same way on the House of Representatives, the State House of Representatives, State Senate, any elected office that has partisan labels on it. But the county commission is the easiest one to explain here because there's five districts, and four of them were Republican. One, the African American district, usually voted Democrat. So, and it would happen in both sides of the aisle here. So, we had someone I went to school with. He had served as a county commissioner for 20 years. He'd been one of the most popular county commissioners. He sometimes said no to developers. He was pro-development. He had businesses that prospered because Manatee County grew and prospered too.
And you're pointing out that the power in Manatee County comes from the house home builders and building builders.
Yes. Yeah. But this was 20 years ago. And
too.
So, previous times in the county commission elections, since that 1996 vote, I would get to vote in an election, the independents would get to vote in the election for the county commissioner, which actually has more to do with your life than a lot of stuff that goes on in Washington.
Absolutely, but the vast majority of people can't name their county commissioners, don't know anything about them, and have demonstrated they're not terribly interested in learning.
Well, they probably can name them better than they can the next congressman's district over. So, but the point being, so this person had been reelected by everybody multiple times. So the loophole now for the write-in loophole was done. To activate the write-in loophole, the candidate that is the write-in candidate fills out one sheet of paper. Does not have to get any signatures to get on the ballot. Does not have to pay any money to get on the ballot.
But they have to fill out a piece of paper to get written in?
To be qualified to be written in. Because with that little blank line that is going to show up on the general election, only people that have filled in that sheet of paper, if their name is written in, do they get counted.
All right.
So it's not like you can just write in your brother or your neighbor. You don't get a list of names that are qualified to write in.
Right.
You just
got it.
Should know it. So what happens then? You've got, at this time it was roughly even, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, let's say one-third, one-third, one-third. They activated the sheet of paper with the write-in. Now two-thirds of the people don't get to vote. And one-third do. Well, at this initial time, the Republicans skewed a little bit towards my friend's opposition. and it was like a 51% to 49%. Had the rest of the population of the county vote in, then most likely, like all the other elections, he would have won by a significant margin. So now, what's happened after that...
Because there was a write-in Democrat that managed
to... No, either party. Okay. It could be a Republican, too.
But in this case, it was Republican.
Well, there were two Republicans running.
Right. And then there were no Democrats running.
And either you could put either Republican or Democrat on that sheet of paper, it would close out the primary. So what's happened now as we go farther along into other
Here's
elections.
The sheet of paper that I don't understand, though. Is the sheet of paper the write-in sheet of paper? Like the,
no.
The
you go down to the supervisor of elections, yep. And you say, I want to be a write-in candidate.
Okay.
And they hand you the sheet of paper. And you fill it out, and you hand it back, and now you've closed the primary.
Got it. So just one person can close a primary.
Yes.
That's what I needed to know, is how many Americans can does it take in Manatee County to close a primary? And in this case, one. No one has to vote for that one person. They just have to fill out a piece
Often,
of paper.
Often the person that closes out is an employee of one of the other candidates.
Indeed.
And sometimes now they have two people do the write-in, because you never know when somebody's going to double-cross you and pull their piece of paper back and open up the election for everybody.
Right.
So now they have an insurance policy by having, you know, a couple of those.
Well, they're not fools. And any system, you know, is going to have tricks to winning.
So, well, it would be very simple. We had on the ballot in the 2020 election a constitutional amendment for the state. And... the people voted by the majority, 56 to whatever, 44%, to overturn, but we require...
Overturn what?
Overturn the loophole for the write-in candidate.
And?
But it requires 60% in this state now, because we reformed the constitutional amendment process
yes.
a few years ago, too. But they both the Republicans and the Democrats were... willing accomplices at the highest level, at the state party level, because they said, well, this is just, you know, we won't get the Democrats elected. It really it was because we'd rather have our little pieces of pie that don't amount to much than risk having no pie at all and opening up the elections for all the people.
So my mom, who I grew up here in Florida, and this system was in place that whole time, as I understand it, my mom basically said, look, you know, I consider myself to be an independent. I'm going to vote for the best person for the job. You've heard it 100 times.
Yes.
But I register Republican so I can vote in a primary. Now, my question would be, all these people that claim to be independents really are just claiming to be apathetic in the state of Florida because they haven't gone... I mean, you know, it doesn't take too much reasoning to understand. I will not get the... A, primaries are more important than general elections in choosing politicians. B, I won't get the vote in primaries if I don't pick one of the two groups of liars and thieves.
Well, except then you also won't get to vote in the national elections and your primary. So
there's no value in the state of Florida to being an independent, is what my claim is. The people do it all the time. A third of the population
yeah.
does it.
I don't understand what the benefit would be, but they have the right to not declare themselves as a Republican
sure.
or Democrat. So and they that doesn't shouldn't preclude them from being able to vote for the people that govern them.
Also, you know, one of the really difficult parts is that libertarians, if you register libertarian in the state of Florida, you're never going to get to vote in a primary because there's never going to be a libertarian primary. So you're stuck in the two-party system, and it benefits you to be, if you're going to vote, be part of the two-party system. Now, I sold my vote, and I'm done. But and by sold, I mean I moved to a U.S. territory for tax benefits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, happy with that. But, yeah, I think that if you don't want this system to come and bite you, you need to work. You need to play the game. If you're out there running around on a racquetball court thinking you're playing basketball, you're going to lose.
So the point is, though, as you said, less people should vote.
Fewer.
I said less people or fewer?
Less of the population should vote. Fewer people should vote. Sorry.
A lesser, fewer of?
Everybody's got their idiosyncrasy. That's mine.
All right. You wanted less, fewer people voting.
That's correct.
And I'm saying if you want to overcome the deep state, you need more people voting and more, and even more relevancy in our local area here where the deep state is a group of about three or four development companies. You really need everybody voting to overturn what has happened in just the last few years to this county. That's horrendous without going hyper-local again on this show.
Well, I would distinguish that companies, these development companies, are the kingmakers. They're the power brokers. They're the powerful. They're not the deep state. The deep state, to me, must be a bureaucrat, must be a government employee in order to do the thing that they're doing. Now, can something be deeper than the deep state? Sure. But the deep state has a definition, and to me that definition means a bureaucrat.
In the election of 2020, where the developers were able to get a sweep of four of their candidates, and we're still talking about all Republicans.
Yeah. Yep.
But these were just that much more in their pocket.
Hand-picked Republicans.
Yes. In fact, all of the county commissioners now have the same political consultant. One political consultant is the hired
to
gun.
To rule them all.
Yes. Although we now have a 6-1 vote on the county commission here because one county commissioner has realized he just can't go far enough.
Yeah.
And wow. So he's now the Lone Ranger. But he probably won't have that consultant anymore. But the point being is, you know, you talk about the bureaucracy. Well, we have a $1 billion budget in this county for the county government. Forget all the city municipalities that have their own budgets. When they got their control over the county commission in total, they immediately moved to fire the county administrator who had worked her way up over 20 years in the system and installed their own, who has since had to resign suddenly. But in his 2 years, he managed to drive off 500 of those so-called bureaucrats, that institutional knowledge of how the county runs and how the potholes get fixed and how the water plant stays pumping decent water. And all those bureaucrats that are, you say, are like a pejorative, they are the ones that make things work. So now we have a third of the county bureaucrats missing, and the county is not running well and is going downhill fast.
I think that's it. You think that the term deep state and the term bureaucrat are pejoratives, whereas I'm using them as simply definitional terms.
No, I think the
terms.
Way you use them are pejoratives.
Well, I think that they certainly have...
How surprising that I think when I hear bureaucrat come out of a libertarian's mouth, that it's a negative connotation behind it.
Well, it has whatever the negative connotations it has, but... I mean, a bureaucrat's a bureaucrat, right? Like, it has it's a term with a definition. Admittedly,
that's what I was saying earlier, but you seem to disagree then.
Government employee and bureaucrat are synonymous in my mind, but there's lots of synonymous terms in English.
All right, and your point?
Yeah,
is that the point?
That's the point. So, do you want me to read this story from downtown?
Well, you sure want to, so I think you should.
It's brief. It's just from their newsletter here. And by the way, you can go sign up for their newsletter at downsizedc.org. Researchers at the National Bureau of Economic Research report the following results. 50% of bureaucrats from 1997 to 2019 were Democrats, which I guess isn't too big if the other 50% was Republicans, but not so.
Or you could at least say the other 50% are non-Democrats then.
32% were Republicans in 1997, and that number fell to 26% by 2019. So I guess the rest are independents. The percentage of Democrats increases for the higher positions. Highly educated Democrats seek bureaucratic jobs more often than highly educated Republicans. Republicans leave bureaucratic employment more often than Democrats, probably to seek, positions within the free market. And then the political alignment of the bureaucracy doesn't change much when a new president is elected. Needless to say, the representation of libertarians in the bureaucracy is likely to be vanishingly small. In other words, bureaucracy is strongly left-leaning. But does this imbalance affect policy? You bet it does. For one thing, the study finds that government projects tend to be more expensive when the bureaucrats who run them are of a different party than the president. But the problem is likely worse than that. I think bureaucrats tend to promote their own policy preferences even when the president wants something else, or when the enabling legislation Congress passed had a different intent. You could probably find numerous examples just by following the news closely, and it's probably been happening since the advent of the administrative state during the progressive era. So I think we've got the general gist of what Downsize DC is trying to say here.
I guess we do.
Well, would you agree that Democrats tend to seek government positions more often than Republicans?
Well, I would suggest that people that want government jobs aren't going to align themselves with the party that's saying they want to fire those people in the government jobs. So there's a certain self-interest there beyond that. I want to say that we're coming up on some important messages here that we're going to want everybody to listen to. But when we come back, we've got mail.
Oh, boy.
Voicemail of some. And I also have a counterpoint to your story about when you restrict and try and have fewer people voting that we can talk about also. And we still have to get to the bad news for former President Trump and what that may mean for Trump Corp.
That is very important. We got to get to
that. Oh, and Governor DeSantis has agreed to debate Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. So we got that, too. You're listening to Reigns at Edge on the Free Talk Live Network.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.